Hello, welcome to step 5, the traumatic symptoms of love addiction. Somehow I feel that this is a very key part of the program. And the reason I say that is that the symptoms of love addiction can be absolutely intolerable, overwhelming, and sometimes drive people into a very, very traumatic place within themselves, leaving you bereft, empty, desolate, unlovable. So some of these symptoms I would like just to touch on briefly today. One of them is panic. Panic, primal panic. Panic is, it relates to the fight and flight thing, and you know, animals get panic, but when humans get this panic, it is as if their whole body is drenched with a very different kind of chemical, which is the stress chemical that raises cortisol levels in the body. And so this is what can cause the heart palpitations, the worry, the anxiety, this fear of abandonment. So what goes with fear of abandonment is a dreadful sense of fearing vulnerability, fearing closeness, pretending, masquerading, hiding. If it's somebody that doesn't know that you have a crush on them, somebody that you've met online or in a chat room or something like that, you can be drenched with a sense of feeling so completely embarrassed, or you never want to be caught out, rather like the character in the Anastasia story. Love withdrawal, as we can see here, is at the core, as like rejection, of love addiction. Love withdrawal is literally like coming down from all the drugs that we spoke about before. And it's as if you're withdrawing. And what often happens in love withdrawal is that you're left with this sense of numbing, this sense of feeling empty, as if even if you want to be preoccupied, there's nothing to preoccupy you with, only this longing and this sense of feeling that you can't survive without the person of addiction. What also goes with that, which I've spoken about in the other steps, is anxious attachment. As I've said before, anxious attachment comes from a kind of a faulty mirroring in early childhood. You know, perhaps your mother or your primary caretakers were suffering from grief or loss in themselves, or going through a divorce in themselves, or had lost someone close to them by death or abandonment in themselves. And what actually happens, this is just one part of what can create anxious attachment. What actually happens is that you have never been held or mirrored or looked at or eye contact. And so what I tend to do in my sessions with people that come to see me in my practice that have suffered or do suffer with anxious attachment is that we work towards making the therapeutic encounter a containing place, a place where they feel seen and known. So why I do this is that, and I want to reinforce this into you now as I'm speaking, it's a sense of you do exist. You do exist unto yourself. When you start to assimilate that sense that you are understood, you are seen, you are known, and begin to identify with some of the things that I'm discussing here in this program, you will begin to feel that you are safe. Once again, I will be doing some exercises about feeling safe. a way to steer away from insecurity and abandonment, and particularly to build a secure base so that the anxious attachment can kind of melt a little, so that you begin to feel more held. Obsession, as I've mentioned here, is another part of a symptom of love addiction. As I've said before, fixation, insecurity, chronic vulnerability. What do I mean by this? You know, as human beings, one of the most important things when we first meet someone is to actually want to feel a deep connection with that person, want to feel that you're known by that person. But with this comes a certain amount of what I call unmasking. And so you can feel dreadfully vulnerable, as if that person can see right through you and finally knows you. But yet the person that defends against vulnerability will be what I could call the avoidant person, so that you might be avoid ever getting close, avoid ever having a pet or a dog or a cat or a guinea pig or whatever. I mean, I know many clients that when I ask them about vulnerability in relation to their love addiction and having a pet, they'll say, no, I can never get close to my pet any longer. I'm so scared of losing them, because the loss was so terribly unbearable, that because that pet, that dog, cat, guinea pig, rabbit, whatever it might be, had filled a place, a maternal place. Even if a man is watching this recovery program, we all have a maternal place in us. And it's as if you've poured all your love and protection and care into taking care of that pet, and you lose your pet, the trauma and the panic and the primal panic can be just as acute as it is in heartbreak or losing a person that you've felt a deep desire and attraction to. It's a very similar feeling, because it relates to grief and chronic vulnerability and sadness, of course. Along with some of the symptoms which I've already spoken about, is this intense sense of rejection. Possessiveness is one of the symptoms of love addiction. If you're with someone, which obviously can lead into jealousy, if you're with someone and their eye contact just looks slightly away, just for a split second, you can feel absolutely abandoned by a look. Or it has been known that with some people I've worked with, that if the person of a addiction, the person that the beloved, begins to learn an instrument or begins to do dance classes or theatre or anything where they're going to attract a lot of people, the possessiveness and the jealousy, because the fear of and loss of the fear of losing that person to their saxophone or to their guitar or to their dance class or to other people in the new workplace or establishment, that fear is absolutely crippling. And what I'm going to be working with is that, as you know already, that the more we can let somebody go, the more they're more likely to come to us and come closer. But the more we interrogate people, or jealous of people, or insecure or possessive of people, the hungrier we are, the more the person will become the love avoidant. And so you're driving them further and further away. When I say this, it's not a criticism. I know what you feel. I'm just trying to give you a picture outside of yourself so that you can see very clearly your own mirror and how you can recognize yourself in some of the things that I'm saying. Because just that one glance away across a room can be enough to trigger somebody's possessiveness and jealousy. So let's move on to some of the other things. One of the main things in the symptoms of love addiction is dysfunctional communication. This desperation to try and be understood, to try and be heard, to feel listened to. Now, I'm not going to go into this now, but I will link that to what I call anxious attachment, because dysfunctional communication, what actually happens is that we're losing all our sense of feeling safe with that person, because we might say, you don't understand me, you don't listen to me, if you knew what I felt, you wouldn't be doing this. So that's dysfunctional communication, along with game playing, along with miscommunication that's betwixt and between, and you don't know where what you said fits in with what they said, or how did it get into this. This dysfunctional communication, you know, I'd say stroke, power struggle, is one of the most powerful cycles that can begin to interweave, which you will see when you look at my lover addiction pro banner a little bit further on. You will clearly see where the love avoidant is and where the love addicted person is and where the miscommunication can happen. Another symptom of love addiction is idealizing that person into a god or a goddess. I've mentioned it before, but this attachment hunger, as if you want to cling to that person with all your life, as you fear losing them forever and ever and ever. Again, there will be something in your program that I have written and you can listen to it. It's called Where Do We Fall When We Fall in Love? And where we fall is that we hold on. We hold on for fear that if we fall over the abyss of that vulnerability and that love that unmasks us, we feel that we will fall and there'll be nobody there to catch us when we fall. So I speak a lot about that in that ebook or PDF that you will find later on in my recovery program. One of the other things that couples come, the symptoms that go with love addiction, is a sense of worthlessness, a sense of powerlessness. That's feeling much smaller, diminished by the one that you love. That's because your self-esteem is so dramatically low. There's a sense of sacrificing yourself and giving yourself up as if they're there and you're nothing but a worm. You're powerless. I'm not saying that. I'm imagining that. I've seen it with people. This powerlessness, this worm-likeness, because it's like what comes with the pleading is the begging, and the more that anything, even a little seed of connection or a glimpse of connection and warmth and lovability coming your way would be better than nothing. But by the end of this program, I'm going to lift you out of that place so that you feel empowered, so that you feel that you will never return to that place of powerlessness ever again, that place of neediness, that place where you feel so separated. It's as if you're separated from humankind. That's at the core. That's the core symptom of love addiction, this neediness and separation anxiety. Chronically low self-esteem, which I will be addressing a little bit later on. Because when somebody doesn't return your love, when somebody doesn't reciprocate, you feel as if you're disappearing. Rather like your primary caretaker, mother or sister or adopted parents, foster parents, whatever, has put you down into a little cradle and left you on somebody's doorstep. And you're screaming and yelling and begging and pleading, please come and love me, but no one's coming. But I'm here to say, and I will do a visualization about this, an affirmation about this, so that you can hold that little child in your arms and you can begin to love her or him, whether you're male or female. This will be the beginning of your own self-validation and your own self-empowerment. So I do hope that you've understood some of these symptoms that's come from this part of the program, the loss of reality, the game playing, the fantasy, the denial, anything but to face that dreadful sense of feeling so terribly empty. But please remember, you have that metaphoric basket that you've draped in whatever color velvet or silk that you want, and all of these unwanted feelings are going to one by one be put into that basket or little box, and you're going to put a lid on it and say goodbye to that part of yourself and feel your own strength and your own commitment in feeling emotionally free after so long. So I hope you've gained something from this step in the recovery program, and I look forward to seeing you in step 6. Thank you.